touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53. What a
call, Sosie. Mad Radio on a Monday morning. Our long national nightmare continues as the Patriots win
nightmare.
The AFC yet again. Mike, Seth, and Paul, thank you, D4, for that. I really appreciate it. The Rams win in overtime on what was to me basically like a legendarily good field goal by Greg Zuerlein.
It was that thing would have been good from 70. Why do we not have in football like some little graphic that just shows how far it could have been good from?
Like in baseball?
Yeah. That's a simple thing. I would enjoy that. I know Landry rails against any kind of things that make the broadcast more fun.
I think NBC has it, actually.
Do they have it? Actually show? Okay.
They show like three different things, like wit, like miles per hour. They have like a something else.
I got to pay more attention.
And it says good from blank.
Usually I'm just like, as soon as it's over, fast-forwarding on the DVR.
I don't think Fox has it, though.
Okay.
Yeah, but NBC has it for Sunday Night Football. Let's start with the AFC title game, because I think that's the lead story before the NFC title game. This was a great football game. Back and forth. I think the last seven possessions all ended up points in touchdowns and field goals. To me, I felt the game was lost by D Ford. D Ford lost the football game.
D Ford, the man who was offsides after the Tom Brady interception and a play which... Wait, was that the one that careened off of Julian Edelman's hands? No, that was off of Gronk's hands. Later, it was Edelman's.
54 seconds to go. The Pats still had all three timeouts, so the game wouldn't have been over. But
right. No, the game was over. The game was over at that point.
It was probably over because Casey was up by four.
I wanted to cut D4 to break because that left tackle was Trent Brown was lined up more than a yard off the line of scrimmage there, which makes it hard to judge. But D4 was way too far into the neutral zone there. And the real shame of it was that he didn't get a hint of pass pressure on that play.
Yeah.
It had zero to do with the football play. He could have lined up a yard behind... D Ford could have lined up a yard back of the line of scrimmage, and the effect on that play, the outcome would have been the exact same.
That's a great point.
He didn't gain one thing, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have called it because of that. Obviously, you got to call it. That's how bad it was. It's one thing. Sometimes as a defensive lineman, if you jump off sides and somebody makes a really good play, you feel bad, but usually it affects the play somehow. I did this versus Buffalo one year. I jumped off sides egregiously.
A
defensive back had a really nice tackle for a loss on the play, but it was because I blew up the pulling guard and there was no chance for it. I felt bad, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, but you wouldn't have made the play anyway. You know, it was just and it was in the first quarter. This is a hard one to come back from. D Ford has to live with this the entire offseason. That's a hard one.
That is a hard one.
Spin it back. Back to the Houston Texans. Don't line up offsides in a big time game, guys.
Yeah,
don't line up offsides. You can jump offsides. I'm actually cool with that. But just don't line up offsides.
It's harder than you think. It's weird. It shouldn't be, but somehow there's just so much geography out there.
Is it because you're on the edge?
It feels like you're out. Yeah. And I didn't spend a whole lot of time out there, but it is. It's just. But except right there, he was there. You could see the ball, and there's a hash mark between him and the ball. If there were no hash mark, I would be more inclined to cut him a break. But there was a hash mark there. I don't know what he's doing in that moment. Oh man, he screwed that up.
He really
screwed that up.
I'll tell you how I feel this morning. Here's how I feel this morning. If the Astros had not won the World Series a year and a half ago, I would be apoplectic this morning. I really would. I just with everything I've been through.
But why?
Just everything.
What have you been through?
What I have been through? I've been through hardship for 18 years.
You watch greatness every Sunday.
Hardship.
Mike fled the Soviet Union.
Yes.
And he's more miserable about this.
Yes.
He fled the Soviet Union at the age of three. He and his family clung to the underside of a boxcar through Czechoslovakia in winter. And yet, this is somehow worse.
I mean, where should I begin? Michigan can't beat Ohio State. The Jets have been useless for basically 8 years. The Texans can't win a big game. And then here I am, and I'm just sitting here. My emotion was when I left the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I appreciated the fact that I was at the Super Bowl for the greatest comeback ever. But I was just livid at the Atlanta Falcons and their lack of just game management, which cost them that Super Bowl 2 years ago. Yesterday, I felt like. It was not a feeling of anger because I can't be angry the Patriots won because they deserve to win the game based on the way that it worked out. It was just like I'm watching these Kansas City fans where the trophy that the Patriots won is named after their original owner. And I'm just like, I'm just like, it's just not fair.
That's how I feel. It's plenty fair.
It's just
fair.
Not fair. See, it's just not
Bradyism is an all-welcoming religion, and these heathens from Kansas City who for some reason have a false god, they were shown what reality is.
This is, but this is the thing about, it's so hard to figure because you can always point to little strokes of luck here and there. In any Patriots Super Bowl run, the difference is that the Patriots are just better equipped to capitalize on the luck. And whether it's Dee Ford or any of these other things, you know, the Patriots committed how many penalties did J.C. Jackson have in the fourth quarter
alone?
It felt
like a lot.
I think he had three penalties. The defensive back
at least two.
It was crazy. And the Chiefs capitalized. They scored 24 points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, they were tremendous.
This in a lot of ways could have been an all time blowing of a game by the New England Patriots. Except the whole time you have this inevitable feel that the Patriots likely won't blow this game because we've seen this story before.
They converted on so many third downs in this game. It was over and over and over and over. And
19?
Didn't at some point during the broadcast, either Romo or maybe it was Nance were suggesting, well, this is part of the game plan to get it to third down every single time. I don't know, man.
Not third and 10.
No. Right.
Right. It's one thing to get it to third and four, like because that was part of the game plan. You very much got the distinct impression.
Run early, right.
The Patriots were using the game plan that teams use against Brady. It's like keep the ball out of his hands. So keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. They were running early, partly because I think sometimes people have a tendency to give Belichick too much credit, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that it's not rocket science. Belichick is saying like, well, Kansas City has an awful run defense. We have a fullback that actually knows how to block and catch, unlike some fullbacks we've seen. And we're going to go ahead and use them. And we're going to just run the ball down their throats.
It's the Cowboy
and
collar.
That's the way you control the game. And especially if you look at what happened by the fourth quarter and overtime, especially, the Chiefs end up playing 94 snaps on defense in that game.
That's brutal.
It seemed like a third of them or more came in that first quarter where the time of possession was absurd. The Patriots had the ball in the entire first quarter. So just they physically, this was old school football. They physically wore down the Chiefs. They ran the ball on them. In an age where everybody wanted to say the run game doesn't matter anymore, this is what the Patriots have done the last 2 weeks, have said like, okay, good. If you want to believe that, that's cute. Here we go.
You're right. And it was as if they put in a fresh horse at the very end of the game, given how many carries Rex Burkhead had at the end of the fourth, and then in overtime. And I mean, I go back to the Texans with this. This is why you just need to have multiple guys, because New England, they rotate through these players. Yeah. And I mean, whether it's Sony Michel, who had 30 carries essentially in the game and looked like he was ready for the cold weather, or it was Rex Burkhead, and of course, James White, who is going to get like about 10 touches a game in some way, shape, or form. They just have a lot of guys that they can go to. And if you're talking about, Seth, a team that is just slowly wearing a team down over the course of 60 minutes or whatever we were in this game, what was it, 66, 67 or something like that, then when you have three of these guys, I mean, what are you supposed to do as a defensive player when there's somebody else who's fresh is coming into the game?
It's so interesting, though. And in a way, it should give teams hope because when you say that, Paul, it's true. Yes, you need to have multiple guys. But outside of Sony Michel, I mean, Rex Burkhead, James Devlin, James White, I'll go back to any of the running backs they've had over the past decade that have been very productive for them. They go elsewhere, and they're not quite the same guys. LeGarrette Blount, not the same guy. Outside of his first couple years there in Tampa Bay, productive, but a different guy in New England because they develop talent so well. Likewise with their secondary, I mean, what do we say? Okay, it's hard to play press man in the NFL anymore. It's hard to do it. The Patriots seemingly find a way to find some nondescript, undrafted rookie every single year, and over the course of a season, teach them how to play press man. There's so much. If there's one thing that I think the Patriots have done better than most teams in the NFL, it's that they've continued. In an age where everybody's obsessed with the X's and O's and Madden and everything else, they've continued to develop the technique of their players, and they're simply better at it. And that should be encouraging because if you get the right position coaches in there, especially on the offensive line where you watch these guys, these nondescript players, Trent Brown, their left tackle, is playing for $1 million this year. They got him for a mid-round pick in the
Nate
middle
Solder
of the season.
At all.
Right.
That's just the sorcery.
Nate Solder is one of those. You know how I feel about Nate Solder. The power forward offensive tackles. I don't like these power forward offensive tackles that get bull rushed back into the quarterbacks.
As far as the overtime goes, I understand that it's sort of an incomplete feeling when you leave a game and the other quarterback hasn't had a chance to touch the football. But I am not one of those people, as rooting for the Chiefs as I was during this game, I'm not one of those people who feels in any way robbed by the fact that the Patriots won the coin toss, went down the field, and scored. I mean, listen, all you have to do, literally, all you have to do is make one stop on a third down on the last three, and the Chiefs are in great shape. All you have to do, because the Pats aren't going for it on fourth down, they're kicking a field goal, because otherwise it's way too risky. And now maybe they will take a game like this or games like this and eventually change the rule, maybe just for the postseason like they do in hockey. But I don't have anything in general against the idea of just one team having the ball in overtime. It's a long football game. I mean, there are combined like 150, 60 snaps in this game.
Three third and tens on that drive in overtime, too.
Make one stop.
Third and ten.
Right.
Every single time.
That's not the game plan. Right. The third and 10 is not the game plan.
Yes.
And I look, Romo, I went back in because I couldn't hear. I was in the newsroom at KHOU for Sports Extra every Sunday night during the football season. Well, actually, every night all year, but I'm only there during the football season. I couldn't hear the audio, but I saw people on Twitter raving about Romo and how he's calling out everyone. He did. Usually, I think it's overstated with Romo doing that. He did a great job on that final, that drive in overtime, especially.
He had a great game.
Because a lot of times, what Romo does is he does a really good job of picking up on the audibles, and it's. I think a lot of quarterbacks and other players can do this. It's just that Romo blends it all so well and makes it fit within the broadcast. But that last drive, he was calling out plays that weren't audibles and doing other things. That was really good. I'll cut the Kansas City Chiefs defense a break in terms of the coverages just because it was quintessential Brady. He was picking apart exactly what they did. The Chiefs had ended up playing 94 snaps. You can't sit back there and cover zero or cover one and play straight man across the board when your guys are gassed like that. They tried to have Eric Berry in man-on-man versus Gronk down the sideline, they torched him. So they tried to have Eric Berry force Gronk to the inside. They torched him. They tried to man up on Julian Edelman, but they got him into stack releases to get him free. It was just complete mastery by the New England Patriots.
What do you guys both think of the overtime rule? Do you have an issue with it?
The counter argument I saw, because I don't have an issue with it at all. I'm of the opinion, you know what? If you can't win it in the four regular, then you leave it up to the gods somewhat anyway. It is a different NFL now, where offense is easier to come by, especially at the end of games like this. So perhaps there should be a little bit more of a fair shake, but nobody's ever going to be happy with it. It'd be like, fine, go to penalty kicks, whatever. It's a coin toss.
Let's go to penalty kicks.
We did used to talk about the old overtime as being good. I mean, it was a long time ago, but everyone talks about that game between the Colts and the Giants from what year, 1958 or something like that? The greatest game ever? Right. Everyone's like, oh, it was the greatest game ever. I mean, that was sudden death overtime. There was a touchdown that ended the game.
Oh, you'd go the other direction and just make it pure sudden death
like it used to be.
People didn't like the field goal.
I never hated it, but I understood why people got worked up about it.